Right, so it's from Hebrews 11, which, if you've got your little red Bibles there, that's on page 853. I'm going to jump a little bit. I'll let you know what verse I'm at. But starting from verse 17. Okay. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Now to verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. To verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. To verse 36. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Thank you very much. Okay, if I sing out a few names, I want you to tell me what they have in common. Matthew Pinsent, Rebecca Adlington, and Chris Hoy. Now, I'd be impressed if small children knew the answer to that. Grown-ups, you're allowed to put your hand up. What do they have in common? Emily with a hand up, her mum says, gold medalists. They are British gold medalists at the Beijing Olympics. They had in common that they won a gold medal. Now I'm going to talk about what God has said some people have in common. None of us, well maybe one or two of you might win a gold medal, but actually it's going to be quite hard. What I'm going to show you is God is saying there's something that's quite hard, but you can all have. And it comes from these stories in the Bible. They're three separate stories. The guy who told them first told them to Christians who were growing tired of being Christians. They found church a bit boring. And they thought maybe they want to go back to the old way of doing things on Sundays. What he did was he reminded the people of God's people in the past who'd believed God's promise for the future, even though it hadn't happened yet. Some of them believed it when it looked very hard. Let me put this up. The first story I'm going to show you is called Resurrection. Now listen carefully. They'd waited years and years and years to have a baby. And when he did come, you can imagine how precious this little tiny baby was to their mum and dad. He was delightful. Whatever his mum and dad, whenever they held him, he smiled. And it wasn't just his name, because they'd called him a word that means he laughs, that made them smile. They were excited at what God was going to do with him. You see, God had made them a promise. A promise even before he'd been born, and this was the promise. The boy you're going to have will have children, and his children will have children, and they'll have children, and so on, until there is an enormous family, and his descendants will number in the billions. You're going to have a great, great, great big family. And it all begins with that little tiny boy you're holding in your hands. Now, the boy's name was, who knows? Yes, that was what it means in English. He laughs. Well done. Isaac was his name. And he was about 10 when it happened. God told his father to do something astonishing. It was hard to believe for lots of reasons. Hard because his son was so precious. Hard because he couldn't see how God could keep his promise. You see, God told him, I want to take your son, your precious son, your only son, the son you love, and I want you to take him up a mountain, build a pile of sticks, and I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to kill him and then burn his body. Now, here's a picture. It's a painted picture of Abraham with his son lying down, all tied up, and he's about to kill him. He took his son and got ready to sacrifice him when God intervened and gave him his son back. Can you see the angel? The angel's appearing and saying, "Don't do it. I've got a lamb, a sheep instead. Can you see it stuck in the bushes? You can sacrifice the lamb instead." So God gave Abraham his son back, even though he came very close to dying. He was resurrected, you might say. Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. It says that in verse 19. He believed God's promise. Isaac got his life back, and he went on to have sons who had sons, and sure enough, Abraham's children became a great nation. Now, what was hard for Abraham to do, but he did it anyway? It was hard for him to believe God's promise and kill his son. He didn't see how the two could go together, but he did. It's hard, but we can have faith in the resurrection. That's the first one. It's hard, but we can have faith in the resurrection. Next story is, put God first. Okay? What comes first for you? What happened first in your house this morning? Did you have breakfast, or did you brush your teeth, or did you get dressed? Put your hands up if you had breakfast before you got dressed. Okay, put your hands up if brushing your teeth came first. Right. What comes first? That's what this story is about. The boy in this story was adopted as a tiny baby. His parents were the royal family. And how he got adopted is a miracle on its own, but that's not today's story. Because if you go up in a king's and queen's house, you have everything you could want. What would it be like? Well, he had all the privileges of a prince. He had all the toys he ever wanted. He had rich food. And when other boys had to work in the fields and factories, he didn't have to. He had his own teachers. He had special lessons. He had his own transport. Here he is. He's got his own chariot and horses, this little boy. He was a prince of Egypt. But a time came when he found out that his people were slaves, his real people. And then he had to make a hard choice. Was he going to be with his people, or was he not? Well, what he did is this. He swapped fame and fortune and comfort for shame and poverty and fear. He left the palace of the king and he joined in with the poor family, and he joined in with the slaves. He went from sleeping in a feather bed in a palace to sleeping on the ground in the desert. Despite all his privileged upbringing, he swapped it for something much harder. He actually had to leave Egypt to escape being killed. The Bible passage in verse 25 says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Now, this man had his priority right. What did he put first? Being comfy in a palace or being with God's people? He chose to put God first. Now, that shows he was looking forward to a time when his reward would come, when his reward were the people of God around God's throne. Now, do you think it would have been hard to leave the palace and his PlayStations and his other toys and all the other bikes and things that he had and go and be a slave? To put God first, it would have been hard. What would you need to believe to do that? You need to believe God's promise about something better coming after. That's what he did. God would keep his promise to his people, even though they were still slaves, and it didn't look like they'd ever escape. Well, do you know what happened to that little boy in the end? God used him to rescue his people from slavery. With God's help, he made Pharaoh let his people go. And he says, verse 7, he kept going because he had his eye on him who is invisible. Do you think he actually saw God? Moses? Well, no, God's invisible. But he looked forward and he believed in the promise. It was as if he could see God because he had faith to put God first. It's hard, but by faith we can put God first. So it's hard, but by faith we can believe in the resurrection. It's hard, but by faith we can put God first. And this is the last story. This is my last story. It's called safety. It's there in the passage. Grown-ups, if you want to look at it, it's in verse 28. This story was part of that bigger story. By faith, it says, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Here's how it went. God said this, I'm going to send a destroying angel. And he's going to kill every single firstborn child in the whole country. And I'd like you to turn to your mum and dad and say, who's the firstborn in my family? If God was going to kill the firstborn in your family, who'd have to die? Firstborn son. Who's the firstborn son? Just 1 minute. In my family, let me tell you who'd die in my family. My dad had a brother called Barry, and he's older than him, so he'd have to die. My mum has got a brother called Tony, who's older than her, so he'd have to die. I've got a brother. I'm older than him, so I'd have to die. It is an awful thing God said he wanted to happen. But he said something brilliant. He said, you can be safe from my destroying angel when the judgment comes. Now then, how do you think most people in the world think they can be safe? Some people think they can be safe by going to church, or giving money to charity, or being nice to their brother and sister. Or maybe you even think, if I went and said sorry to my mum and dad, then I'd be safe. Well, none of that works. You see, we can't do anything to keep ourselves safe. What God told his people to do was something hard and strange, but it kept them safe. Now listen. They had to get a lamb and they had to kill it. They had to kill the lamb. There's the lamb, he's all tied up. And there's some blood. They had to collect the blood from the lamb and they had to get a branch from a tree and paint the door of their houses with the blood from the lamb. Strange, but God said, if you do that, I'll keep you safe. Now they believed it. And I bet all their Egyptian neighbors, when they saw them doing it, thought, you're very odd. That's very strange. That's a bit nasty and bloodthirsty. I don't believe God's going to judge us. I'm not going to do that. But the people of God believed and they did the strange thing. They had a choice to believe it or to carry on that weekend as though it was just like every other weekend. It was hard, but by faith. Oh, look, there we go. Painting the door. It was hard, but by faith, God kept them safe. Now, there's my three stories. Resurrection. Safety was the last one. And putting God first in the middle. Three stories. And the author of the book of Hebrews says, I've got loads of other stories. I could tell you lots more. Look at verse 32. I could say stories about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And if you like stories, why don't you ask your mum and dad to tell you those stories over lunch? They're great stories. What do they all have in common? What did my three stories have in common? Did you spot it? Beata. Faith has to do with it. God kept them safe, was the last story, because of their faith. I want to say two things. It was hard for them, but by faith, God made it possible. And it's just the same for us. Is it easy to believe in the resurrection? To believe that when you die, you're going to be raised to life again? It's hard, isn't it? I've had pets in our house. We've had a couple of rats recently. They died. They're not coming back to life again. It's hard to believe in the resurrection, but do you remember? Abraham did, and he got Isaac back. Jesus was resurrected, and therefore we can believe in the resurrection. Hard, but will you have faith? Second one. What about putting God first? It'll be hard, just like it was for Moses. Hard to leave the palace, hard to leave everyday life and become one of the people of God. But he did. And when a person becomes a Christian, he may well leave behind things that the world thinks are nice. Hard to leave those things behind, but it's worth it. And what about safety? The world says the way to be safe is to have lots of money, to wear your seatbelt and be careful when you play outside. The world says safety can be done by us. But what the Bible says is safety, real safety, comes by faith. It may be hard to believe that other people are wrong, that the faith that we need is in Jesus alone and not in anything else. If the Israelites had said, it's okay, I think I'm going to be safe by painting my door blue, wouldn't have worked. Or if they'd said, no, I think I'll be safe on my own, thanks, it wouldn't have worked. Jesus says, you can be safe by having faith in me, and no other way. Now, verse 36 tells us what happened to faithful Christians in the past. Some of them had a horrible time. Listen to this. Some faced jeers and being whipped. Others were chained and put in prison. Some were stoned. Some were sawn in two. For their faith was hard. Some went about in sheepskins and goatskins, and they didn't have much money, and they were persecuted and mistreated, and they didn't have homes. It's hard sometimes. But God says you'll be safe. They kept going. By faith, we can believe in the resurrection. We can put God first, and we can be safe forever. I hope you'll remember that, those three things. By faith, it's hard. We can believe in the resurrection, we can put God first, and we can be safe. Do have a read over Hebrews 11 over lunch and later today. Let me pray for us as we finish. Thank you for this great line of witnesses in the past, Heavenly Father. People who had faith and trusted in you and looked forward to a resurrection, who were able to put you first and were kept safe. Father, may we be those who follow in their footsteps by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May this message be the one that sings out from our lips and by our lives as we face hardship in the days and weeks and months to come. Strengthen your church, we pray, to remain faithful. Amen.